Get out of the way. How's it going?
Good.
Don't worry, I'm not cooking at the men's meeting, men's retreat. So feel free to come. It'd be good. Yep, I got to go to Tanzania. It was a lot of fun. Amazing experience. Yep. So thanks for all the support for the tools we brought. You might see some of the tools featured in the video in the presentation. It's really hard to condense about a month into about 4 to 5 minutes. So I'm gonna try to be careful. 40 minutes actually. So there's a clock though. So let's get into it. Tanzania is in Africa, East Africa. It's on the east coast there. And so this is the country of Tanzania. So we flew to Paris and then Zanzibar. So Zanzibar used to be a country, and then all of this was Tanganyika, which is the name of this lake here. And then I think it basically means the bush behind Nyika, or Tanga, maybe? Probably the bush behind Tanga. So this was a country, this was its own thing, then they made it in the 1800s, Tanzania, one big thing. The president is from Zanzibar, so every flight comes to land in Zanzibar, and then flies to Dar es Salaam for more revenue for Zanzibar. Right? There's no corruption in their government, it's great. So we flew here, then to there, Dar es Salaam, we got another plane to Kigoma, over to here. Yep. And then, so this is, once again, Kigoma, this whole region, there's Kigoma, UGG is down a little ways, that comes up later. Here's a satellite image. Okay, so this is where the Kinlaws live, and then the Johnson, Luke and his wife Gina live there, really close. We stayed in a place called Joy in the Harvest. The guy stayed up here. The girls stayed with the Kinlaws. The guy stayed here. Really nice, a few buildings. They let missionaries stay for up to a month for free. And then if you stay for more than a month, they ask you to kind of pay to help just to support it. But great place, lots of good people, really nice rooms. No AC, but it was good. Actually, beautiful weather. The school we worked on, which is kind of the main project, was up here in Bushabani, which isn't on the map, but it's kind of small. And then this is Kibrizi, where there was a fish market. There's a few pictures. There was actually a cholera outbreak in Kibrizi, but I think they're okay now. So here is a historic, it's a railway. So the Arab slave trade was really big. They would take slaves from the Congo, go across by boat to Kigoma, and then load them on the carts, send them to Dar es Salaam, then to Zanzibar. So it's pretty old. It's not fully functioning anymore, the railroad from Kigoma to, maybe it wasn't quite Dar es Salaam, but somewhere near Dar es Salaam, though. Anyways, just some history. So there is a lot of Muslims, a lot of Arab influence in this area. You kind of see the style, right? It's kind of the Arab style. You kind of see that a lot in different places around. So I looked it up. I think, according to Wikipedia, I actually got this wrong at the youth rally. So, Wikipedia says that Tanzania is like, I think it's 60% Christian, 30% Muslim, but that includes like Catholics and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and different things that don't preach the true gospel. So, and the region that John works in UGG. There's a lot more Muslim influence there. So this is the bookstore that John, that's kind of his primary, like, headquarters, John Kinlaw. He's taking the picture, that's why he's not in the picture. It's Light of the World Library. Maktaba is library. Nathaniel Bosworth, he's from Florida. He's kind of plugged in with Horton Haven and Camp Horizon. Jonathan Peck, y'all know him. This is Gerald. He lives in Tanzania. He's one of the nationalists. Works with John. Arthur Burnham? I think it's Burnham. He's from Pennsylvania. He just kind of heard about the trip and wanted to go. So none of us knew him before this trip. He's a great guy. He's an electrician. Then Victoria and Patience. I forget their last name. It's difficult to pronounce. They're from Kentucky. They knew Doug pretty good. They work at Horton Haven. Doug Lindley works at Horton Haven. Used to be in North Raleigh or Northridge area. I think he went to Northridge for a long time. Sam Kinlaw, John's son. We pick up that drifter on the way. So here is the blueprints of the school. And we only had, they only had this building built, the workshop, and then these four here built. So they had it all bricked up. Actually, I think I have a better picture. But anyways, real quick. But yeah, so volleyball court, dormitory. I'm not sure if you can, you probably can't read that from back there. Headmaster's home. Yeah, there's a kitchen. There's classrooms. There's a dining hall. This is a multi-purpose hall. It's all fenced in. And right now it's just chain link and barbed wire. It might be better when you're done. The idea is that they have, currently they actually have students. They meet at one of the chapels there. And Luke Johnson kind of helps with other people as well. They disciple the believers, particularly the elders, but also just any believer that wants to come. This is Bible school. They have a year program. They're trying to get this building built so they can have less distractions, more facilities. They can do more than just teach the Bible. They can teach vocational skills. And I spent just a few months. You quickly learn that some of their mechanics don't really have a lot of understanding of how cars work, which is fun. And so there's definitely a need for good education. As well as a solid Bible teaching. A lot of the, a lot of them are seem to be kind of immature in general. That's kind of what I got from the missionaries. Anyways, there's a zoomed in shot. Yep. So these buildings here and the workshop were basically built. Here's office, library, annex, library. And yep, so it's all mud bricks. They crumble really easily. And so those piles are the sand they use for the mortar. Wasn't very good sand for mortar, but they did it. They kind of mix the concrete right around here where it's kind of like lighter colored. There's some gravel too over there. The gravel was also dirty. So it just makes for weak concrete. It's kind of sad for anyone that knows concrete work. Is Dave here? Yeah, Dave's here. Yeah, he would understand. And some others, I'm sure, as well. So they build them out of bricks. There's you can see the concrete ring beam and concrete pillars as well, but bricks. So we cut these channels. We put the conduit in and the stuff, and then someone else is going to come back and mortar over top of it. So it'd be all smooth and nice looking when it's done, and kind of hot, hidden and pretty much safe. As a kid, there's actually another kid hiding behind that pillar. He was shy. He wasn't shy until I pulled the camera. Then he was shy all of a sudden. But we had a pretty good crowd watching us. It's kind of fun. So here is that same building. Once we got doors and the bars and the windows, Tanzania is actually a very safe country. There's not a lot of violent crime. There's a lot of theft. A lot of theft. Everything has to be locked up all the time. It looks like a dangerous place. Like if you went to a down neighborhood here that had bars and everything, you'd be a little bit worried. But there, it's safe. It's just a lot of theft. So, there would be glass over top of that metal when it's done. So here's Nathaniel working on a ladder, putting up a switch leg. So I said we cut the channels. What I should have said was John and Pet cut the channels in the brick with an angle grinder, and we went through like two or three diamond cutting discs. It was a lot of cutting. So the conduit, you can't buy elbows, and you can't buy the ends don't have, they're not flared, there's no bell flare on them. So we had to make our own bell flares with that wooden dowel and a torch. We bent them all with a torch by hand, just to make them fit better. There's also no connectors, so somebody may have a trouble feeding new wires through if they ever have to do that in the future. Hopefully they won't, though. So here's one of the rooms when it was done, when we were done. You see the panel in the back, too. It's all 240, so it's small wire. Everything's a little bit smaller. And so here's this wonderful ladder I spent a lot of time on. It's actually very stable. It looks really bad, but it's very stable. The aluminum ones felt cheesy to me, so I just lugged this one around. It's very heavy. A lot of hardwoods over there. And then here's where the power went up the wall into the building. It's just blue, and it's really thin. Like, you drop it, it'll crack, which is kind of sad for, you know, the supply wire for a building. But that's what they have, and it works. It'll be good when it'll be covered in concrete too, so it'll be fine. So here's some of the, a lot of these are made in Tanzania. Africab for A Changing Tomorrow. That's my favorite. Hippo, Switch On Your World. It's our switch boxes. Kilimanjaro cables. I liked it. It's cool. Here is the workshop from the one side. It's the three doors, obviously. They're going to have to probably grade this out for the driveway. I don't think they took into account the slope so much. And I think they hit rock underneath it. So the whole thing was supposed to be like a foot or more lower. And they just hit big rock and just gave up. So then they built the whole thing higher, which is, yeah, maybe okay. But so they'll have to do some more work on there. Here's the inside. After we got, you see all the conduits on the walls. There's that inspection pit. That was a big thing. Yeah, so you got Poggy, he'll come up later. And then the rest we already discussed. They got a lot of motorcycles around. Cool. It was raining that day. That's why they were inside. So here's, you can see Aaron Johnson. He's funny. He's Luke Johnson's son, middle son. That kid, so me and him went spearfishing. It's kind of cool. And that kid shot a bird with a slingshot and cooked it and ate it on his own. I think Sam helped him. But, and then his brother found the rock. I don't know if it was a trophy or if he was going to try to kill two birds with one stone just in two steps. But yeah, that kid was a lot of fun. And so then there's a couple of the guys that helped out. Faraja, and I forget the other guy's name. Faraja spoke English pretty well. Became good friends with Nate a little bit. So, yep. Here's the inspection pit. There were only two big rocks. Mountaintop, this would be full of rocks. It would have been a nightmare. And those were even sandstone, so I used a sledgehammer and smashed them. Well, I'm not saying it was easy, but compared to mountaintop, it was nice. It was nice, smooth dirt. But yeah, so I got this thing. So if you're not familiar with this, it's dig a big pit, you drive a car over top of it, then you can get underneath the car. So it's kind of like the opposite of a lift. They have them here in America, but it's kind of maybe old school. So you may wonder, where do they get water from? Right, so there's a solar panel feeding that well, little brick kind of well head, goes down to the well. And the black thing's full of water, so a guy does it. He drills a missionary out there. He'll drill a well, I think for free, for different missionaries or different groups. And the only stipulation is you have to let the water flow for the people around there to get clean water. So the hose is always running for people to come and get water. One time we had to fill the tank back up, the black tank, and people were going down to this muddy stream to wash their clothes and get water. It's also the end of the dry season, so it was more desperate. But and then if you're wondering, how did we go to the bathroom? You turn off the monitor, and then you can go to the bathroom. No, just kidding. It's a terrible idea. This suspense, you're going to like this part. Some of you probably know what's coming.
This next part of the
yeah. Maybe a little graphic. Not too graphic. Don't worry. Yeah. We are. Thank you. Ooh, there it goes. Maybe? Can I unplug every plug back in? That always works. Ah. Well. There's a brief intermission. We'll have a little commercial break. Okay. Yeah, check that out. That's just concrete, and as a whole, it goes to a tank. Squatty potty. So our hotel, but the room we were staying in actually had normal American toilets. Jonathan said, I hate this squatty potty. It's the most inefficient toilet they ever made. And I agree. But anyways, there it is. Yep. We'll talk about that if you want to later. I got some details for you, but it's all right. Another really cool thing. So this is fun. So me and Art went to the school in UGG. John goes, also with Gerald, they go to, there's two different schools. They're actually side by side. They both teach elementary. I'm not sure what the difference is, why it's not just one school. Anyways, and then there's also a few other schools they go to. And actually, while I was there, there's a guy who works at a Christian charter school, and he asked him, John, if he could do a Bible class. That's kind of cool. People just ask him to come in. They're required to do a religious class. I'm not sure how strict the requirements are. It's So something to do like a Muslim or Islamic class, as well as a Christian class. So this time, the Muslims would leave and just the Christians would be there in theory. But then you might see a hand in the window. Obviously, Gerald translated for me. Y'all speak Swahili. Some of them speak English. So yeah, some kids in the window listening. You see them all around listening. Maybe they're Muslims. They weren't allowed to come in, or they didn't want to come in. They were allowed to come in. They didn't want to, but they'd be sitting there listening. And one of them did reach in and pat me in the back and was like, hey, teacher, money. And I didn't give him any money, but I thought that was funny. So here's, they're doing some singing, and their singing is different than ours. Like the girl in the front kind of like led the singing, so she would sing, and then if they were echoing her or if there was like different parts, but she was basically doing a solo for half of it. But I think that's the principal standing on the side. Yeah. So what else we got to do is they had a kids club. So that's Harry and Ruth Johnson. So that's Luke's parents. They pretty much spent most of their lives in Burundi or Tanzania. And they're actually retired. They have one house in Tanzania and one house in Burundi. I think they're going to spend more time in Burundi. They have two other kids in Burundi. And Luke's in Tanzania. They're a lot of fun. They did... Yeah, kids club, and they were wanting some ideas, so I gave them one that we do from camp. It's a marble drop, so you have these tubes. We use PVC pipes. These are a piece of the conduit and a marble, and you just got to transport the marble from one side to the other. So it was fun when they don't speak English, trying to communicate that to them, and then Harry and Ruth had no idea what was going on. So I thought it was fun. We ended up making it a race, of course, between four different teams. One did like 4 minutes. One took like 12 seconds. I don't know. I thought they were pretty equal teams. Nah, good stuff. John shared a little message, and then I think Patience shared a testimony. It might have been Tori, I don't remember. And with the translator, of course. And yeah, we had gave him food at the end. So this is the missionaries. So every Wednesday night, the missionaries get together. At Joy of the Harvest, the compound we're staying in. There's a lot of Baptist missionaries over there, as well as there's some Pentecostal missionaries and just different groups. Most of them all get together. When you're over there, the denomination's kind of like, you just don't have to worry about it. As long as someone's a genuine, like, believes in the gospel, usually they get together and work together, which is really nice. All the kids come together, so I got to share my testimony one night, and then the next Wednesday I did the kids' club, it's a lot of fun. These kids are just so wild in a good way. This is the magic carpet. I ended up having to split the team in half because it was just too many. But they tried really hard. So here is Kazinga Chapel. This is where the Kinlaws normally meet on Sundays. So you see the roof's gone. It had a roof. One of the elders got really sick and died, and his son came and took the roof and sold it, I think. Or maybe he used it, I don't know. But took it down, and that's what they're left with. You see the tarp? That's just to keep the sun off. And here is... the kids kind of meeting under a mango tree. A lot of fun. That's Elena Kinlaw and Jennifer. Yeah. So since we left, this was like a week or two after we left. So this is Poggy. I mentioned him before. He actually goes to a Pentecostal church, and he became really good friends with John. He came to John and was like, I really want to do more evangelism. I really want to go door to door and talk to people. And so John was saying it's hard to find good friends and good, it's hard to know people who are genuine, because a lot of people will come to you, oh yeah, I really want to go do stuff, but they're really just asking for money. And so it's hard to have good friendships because it seems like it's usually just a scheme to get some money from you. But Poggy wasn't like that. And John, like, you'll have him do stuff, like you have send him to town to get supplies or parts, where it's easier for him because he knows the language, knows the people, and if a white guy rolls up in town asking for a part or something, they're going to charge him more for it. And he may, you know, John may not know what a good deal is for that item. So send Poggy instead. And then just other things. But yeah, so Poggy's kind of leading this building project. You see him up there. And he also works for the kids. But yeah, like I said, he's Pentecostal, but he, I think him and John are talking about eternal security, which is something the Pentecostals don't believe is eternal security. And John just took him through Scripture and was pointing out different places. And Poggy's like, oh, wow, like, that makes so much sense. Like, and so you can tell he really is, he really wants to know what Scripture teaches, not just what the preacher preaches. We were driving around town, and you can hear him on the loudspeaker doing like a street evangelism for the kids. It's pretty cool, just on a random day. But so they're working on it. I'm not sure how far they've gotten. That's the ring beam on it, and then the next would be the roof. So this is another church. This is, I forget the town this one was in. This is where Harry and Ruth used to go, I think. It's just concrete. There's no glass windows. It's just windows with bars in them. A lot of fabric, a lot of decoration. They have that loudspeaker. They kind of just broadcast to everyone around. They turned it down for us, but it was still pretty loud. But I think it is for people in the streets to hear. So this is lunch afterward. You see Cokes and the Fanta. They do have a lot of Western stuff over there. But it was a lot of fun. Just a good time. We had chicken and beans and some, not chicken, we had beef and beans and rice. There was a chicken running around in the chapel. That was a gift someone had given to us Thursday, then the next Thursday. So it's pretty good. here it is. Yep, someone they wanted a picture real bad. This guy was running the soundboard, and I wanted to get a picture of the soundboard. He kind of reminded me of a friend of mine who also runs the soundboard, mildly. So I went to the picture, and I was getting ready to leave, and he came up and grabbed me by the hand. I was like, no, come back. And he went there picture taken. So, anyways, fun. So here's a couple of pictures of, I think there's actually two different places. One was at the kids' club, because Jonathan is Natural Habitat preaching to the kids. He speaks Swahili well. So, but you see how interested they are, for the most part. It's really, really exciting. I guess here is just some fun stuff. That's a bajaji. That's what most people kind of get around. It's like a taxi, like a rickshaw or something. So it's like, the front is like a motorcycle. The back has got like two wheels like a car. It's very tight. As you can see, you can fit three large guys in the back. We were good friends. It's okay. I think they'll cram more in there sometimes. They get more money, you know, it's per person. So the more you cram in, the more you get per ride, the more the driver gets per ride. So it's fun. I don't know if you can see in this video just how crazy the traffic is. But at one point, we're like, I think it's right here. There's this big old truck or car goes flying on by. Here, this is scary, stressful. Glad they were driving, not me. We met a zebra named Sebastian. He's kind of tame. Put Sam's hat on him for a picture. And then this is the lake. It's Lake Tanganyika. The beach is Jacobson's Beach. It's actually a pretty famous, somewhat famous beach, touristy kind of spot. It's beautiful. It looks more like the ocean in a lot of ways, but it's fresh water. We spent, I think every Saturday we went down there. Jonathan paddling around. We jumped off that rock. One of the rocks jumped off of. So the food. A lot of people ask about the food. Chicken and chips, or fries. They used to be British, so they call them chips. It was a British colony. I'm not sure if they were potatoes or like a yucca or something, but they were basically potatoes. They were good. I'm not sure what they put on the chicken, but the chicken was delicious. It was very tough, but it didn't matter. It was delicious. And then you get this little salad on the side. This is a restaurant. They call it the Pink Place because it used to be pink. They don't know what the name is. It's not pink anymore, but it's still the Pink Place. So we went there a lot of times. We also got some like to-go food. This same place, rice and beans. I think I had chicken on the side, but here's... We had this at one of the missionaries' houses. It's a fish head and some other stuff. It's actually very good, very, very tasty. Here's another restaurant they had. So I think this fish only lives in Lake Tanganyika, I think is what I heard. Lake Tanganyika is almost 5,000 feet deep. Second deepest lake in the world. It's very big. But yeah, there's fish that only live there. And I suppose that's one of the smaller ones. Yeah, it's good. The produce, look at that color. Beautiful. And this is the end of the dry season. So a lot of this fruit is kind of like bottom of the barrel. A lot of the, you know, melons were kind of tough on one side. The bananas, they're pretty good bananas. They have a lot more flavor than they do here. Here they're kind of bland. Those are pretty tasty. And they have a lot of okra, which I wasn't expecting. I think it's somewhat a new thing from what I think I heard. But yes, you go to the market, and there's dozens of these booths everywhere. It's like a maze. You're walking through this maze, and everyone's trying to sell you stuff, and a lot of them have the same stuff. And you're like, which one do I pick? And so John just has people he kind of knows. He goes to theirs, and you're like walking past everybody and getting the same thing at this one person's place. But it's kind of nice, though, because you go through, like, basically an entire aisle of a grocery store is just one box. So you just stand there and take what you want. It's not like you have to search through 50 different flavors of the same thing. I kind of enjoyed it in some ways. So Harry's got a sailboat. He used to sail up and down the lake to villages you couldn't drive to. It's kind of old. He's had to redo it a lot of times, and he put fiberglass on it, but it's still rotting a little bit. The mast rotted out. Termites got to it. It's just an untreated eucalyptus pole. So we helped him with the mast that day. And then we got to go a little bit of sailing. The motor died, and there wasn't a lot of wind, so we went back pretty quick. But it's still a good time, sailing in Lake Tanganyika. So this is how they make their boats in general. They cut out pieces. They staple them together. There's bolts where the thwarts are. And then they cram cotton and palm oil in the cracks, which actually, it's waterproof. It works good. The fish like to eat the cotton, so they'll pick it out. And it doesn't last forever, so a lot of maintenance, you know. This is how pretty much all the boats are made. I think Harry's boat is made the same, but they also fiberglass on top of it. It's kind of cool, gives you a little bit of perspective when you're reading through like the Gospels and people fishing. There's basically like two shifts. People will go out, I think midday and near midnight the winds pick up, and so they go out, fish, and they'll come back, and then the next shift kind of goes out. And it probably all depends on what they're fishing for would change. So they have these huge boats with sails. There's a lot of, I think it's Arab style, what I was told. And it's like one, it's hard to describe. That's just the way the sail looks, but it doesn't matter too much. They also have motors on them usually. They're really small motors for very, very big boats. But they make it happen. A lot of fish. This is the last picture I got. This is the Kinlaws saying goodbye at the airport. It was a great trip. Got a little more. So the one church we went to in the village, that's where the kids' club was. I think that's where the Johnsons were going. They wanted me to read this letter. And it's, I probably won't just straight, well, I might read it. It's kind of, I think I got a lot of time left. It's in English, but it's really rough English. Yep. We would like to say that welcome again here in Kigoma, Tanzania, our home. We had a desire to get a chance of talking with you guys face to face, but we didn't give in a chance to sit with you. So we would like to share with you something as follows. Workers are needed in God's farm. And he's got Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Gospel support from one another, from one area to another, Romans 10, 8 to 15. Necessary support to God's servants, 1 Corinthians 9, 7 to 14. Three brothers in Christ, with God's love, you may pray also if God's people will be touched by our needs, it will be a blessing and glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 12. Keep on praying for us because we serve God in difficult conditions. Romans 15, 30. We also wish you a good journey and God bless you from the Brethren Church's elders, and they got the elders' names. I kind of talked to Harry and Ruth about it. They're basically, once again, asking for money, which was kind of the theme. You go there, and even on Sunday morning, hey, I need a new phone. Could you give me some money? I really want to go to Bible school. Can I have some money? And, like, you know, I say no to someone going to Bible school. But it becomes, like, so much of a habit, I guess. I don't know what else to call it. People do it so much. They're so dependent on the missionaries. And that's, you can kind of feel that in the letter. Like I said, just from talking to John and the Johnsons, and there's a lot of Christians there. There's a lot of good believers there. So I think our prayer isn't that we need to send more missionaries to them, but that they would grow enough to do to stand on their own feet, you know, to be the missionaries to the area. And they've asked for, you know, the needs from one area to another. Well, they have the resources. There's a lot of poverty in Tanzania, but they have the resources to go and share the gospel. And you see that by some of the workers that are working, like Poggy and Gerald and some of the others. They really have a heart for the ministry, have a heart for the gospel. They said they need more of those, but from the nationals, not from the missionaries. And what a number of the missionaries said is that Tanzania really doesn't need more missionaries. If anything, they need less missionaries. The missionaries need to maybe leave and let them work things out on their own. That's kind of a, you know, sensitive, like, thing. Like, do you pull out? Do you stay? You know, it takes a lot of wisdom. So that'd be a good prayer for them, is to know what to do. So I said the Luke and his family, they're kind of focused on discipling the believers. And then John's primary ministry is in Ujiji, where there's a lot of Muslims, and so he does a lot of evangelism. They got the bookstore. And so, like, one thing he does, they have a lot of eyeglasses. It's hard to get eyeglasses over there, mostly reading glasses. So they'll have reading glasses. And you have, like, so the really more radical Muslims, they have the white coat on. And they'll bleach their beards. And so it looks kind of red, kind of weird. But one, like, a guy like that came in to get glasses. And, like, he comes in, and they'll come in, they'll take some Bible literature, take a tract or something. There's some people that really, like, they're open to learning about spiritual things, and it's very different than it is here, and so that's definitely a big thing that I noticed. Everyone talks about the poverty and stuff. We have poverty here. It's not as widespread by any means, but there is poverty here, and the solution is still, it's not just giving people money. It's, you know, people need Jesus first. That's more important. You can be rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you don't know Jesus. You know, Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. Right? He never condemns poverty. So really trying to teach them values other than material things is really big. John is working on the school, or working on summer camp, youth camp. Probably heard that for years now. He's been trying to get that. He's been praying. He got a piece of land. He's pretty sure that was God's will, was to buy the piece of land. But now he needs to get another piece of land because it's very small. And all around him, they don't want to sell to him because there's a lot of Muslims. And they're like, oh, no, they are Christians. We won't sell to them. And so it's just been difficult. And so I've been, you know, praying a lot for that. And, you know, he says he's convinced that God's got a very specific purpose for it. And so, you know, pray for patience for him to see what God wants him to do. And maybe just an issue of timing. Maybe he's got something better coming in the future. But yes, pray for them. So that's most of what I got. I do have this. 10,000 shillings. Guess how much this is worth? A little more than a dollar. Well, okay. It's worth about $4 US. I'll just tell you. So I was a shillionaire. I've used that joke a few times. I still think it's funny. So the cost of living is also low. So you can't really compare exchange rates exactly. But so, like, cars are about the same value with the exchange rate. But, like, food is way cheaper. So, anyways, that's kind of cool. If you want to see this, you can come see it. Yes, question and answer time.
How much would lunch cost at a restaurant? So
the fancy restaurant, the pink place, it was for chicken and chips was 10,000 shillings, so like $4 for pretty good chicken and good rice and beans, more than I could eat most days, or the fries. And so sodas are very consistently priced because they're all just bottled and shipped. A lot of them are actually bottled in Tanzania, like Coke and Pepsi stuff. But it's the big one is 1,200 shillings, which is like a dollar. And it's all, you know, cane sugar, delicious. And the smaller ones are like 1,000 shillings, which is, 40 cents. Wait, I think I just mathed wrong. Yeah, 1,000 is 40 cents, right? Anyways, I did some math wrong somewhere down the line, but it was cheap. we went to one restaurant, and they had two, well, there was three choices. It turned out to be two choices. But the three choices they told us was we had rice, beans, and beef. The real choices were take it or leave it. And so we took it. It was delicious. It really was good. And that was I think it was like 80 cents for like a full meal. It's really good. Yeah. So someone asked me, and jokingly, it's like, did you keep Jonathan out of trouble? And I said, no, it was worse. Whenever I saw Jonathan walking away from the group, Jonathan Peck, I would just go follow him because I knew it was going to be fun. Whatever it was going to be an adventure. So we didn't get arrested. It was good. Didn't even think it was going to be a lot of fun, though. So I had a great time. I would love to go back. Just been praying about it. I don't know. But it was just a lot of fun. Yeah, so pray for the Kinlaws and the Johnsons. Any other questions? The kids, the youth rally, were like, do they have BMWs? What kind of cars do they drive? There's a lot of questions. Did I get pickpocketed? No, I didn't get pickpocketed. Anyways. Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to finish early then. It feels wrong. I feel like I should keep going. There you are.
Thanks, Justin. Mm-hmm. Sharing with us your trip and